Let's get started tonight. We're going to be starting a study over the next few Wednesdays on how to build trust, how to learn how to trust each other, and how to learn how to trust God. But before we start that series, we're going to look at something tonight that kind of sets the tone for it. And we're going to go and we're going to examine the Christmas story. Is that okay? And so tonight we're going to see the purpose of Christmas. Why is Christmas so important? Now, I know you know that answer. What is Christmas all about? Somebody tell me. The birth of Jesus. I figured more of you knew that answer, but that's all right. All right. So Allison's got it down. It's about the birth of Jesus. It's about when Jesus came as a baby. The problem with Christmas is a lot of people never see him past a little helpless baby in Mary's arm. That was just part of the story. That wasn't the whole story. That's just when it got started. But we're going to look at Christmas tonight, and we're going to look at some verses, of course, in Luke chapter 2, but I'm going to take you to other passages. So you'll keep your finger there in Luke chapter 2, or you'll keep your eyes on the screen, whichever version of the Bible you're using tonight, all right? And we'll look at some things. But I want you to understand something tonight. If you want to ask the question from a worldly perspective, not from a God perspective, about what makes Christmas so special, you've got to look at one inevitable fact. No other holiday in the year, whether it's Columbus Day, Valentine's Day, Halloween, no other holiday gets the attention that Christmas does. Matter of fact, your birthday only lasts for a day, right? Most holidays only get a day. Christmas is the only holiday that gets an entire month of recognition. You ever notice that? It is literally in your face for all of December, right? How many of you have realized that to be true? And actually, into November as well, right? It's in your face. Every year, it just keeps getting more and more broad. Matter of fact, if you look at it in this way, 1/12 of your year is spent focusing on Christmas. It's spent with Christmas out of there. No other part of your year gets that much attention. No other part of it. And whether you're a believer or a non-believer, there's a lot of emphasis put. I tell people it's the biggest party that's ever thrown every year. Every traffic jam, every gas mile, every dime that's spent on fuel or gifts, every hour or second spent in line, everything about this time of year points to the fact that we're acknowledging something. We're acknowledging that there's something special. Now, the world doesn't like to admit what it is. As a matter of fact, they've tried to steal it. They've tried to say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. And they've tried to remove the emphasis. But as much as they want to, they can't. They cannot remove the emphasis that Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about who He is. And they'll celebrate that at 12th of the year. They'll go and get crazy over Christmas. Every light you see, every tree you see, everything that you see celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ. And whether they want to admit it or not, that's the way I view it. And that's the way I love it. Matter of fact, let's look at Luke chapter number 2 and let's listen to the angel tell us the threefold purpose of Christmas. All right, now, it is one of my favorite stories and we have looked at it briefly just this past Sunday night. But the Bible says that that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Verse 9, suddenly an angel appeared of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. In other words, they were in a force field of God's awesomeness, all right? Star Wars is coming out in like 13 days, right? They were in this force field of God's awesomeness. And it's like, man, how amazing would that be? It's not just the angel in the sky. They could not escape it. You know what I have found? Is the goodness of God cannot be escaped. The greatness of God cannot be escaped. It surrounds everything. God even said in His Word that all of creation testifies that He's there. He's real. He's God. You know, it's all around us, and that's what I love. It's from the day that Jesus stepped foot on the planet, from the day He was born, the greatness of God has just been engulfing this place. Now look at this in verse number 11. It goes on and it says, but the angel, it says, it reassured them. Go back to 10, Tanya, I'm sorry, I skipped it. But it's talking, and the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. I want you to circle that. Good news that will bring great joy to all people. Go on to verse number 11. In verse number 11, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. It goes on and it says, and you will recognize Him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, or what we call swaddling clothes, right? Laying in a manger. Aren't you glad? look at that in verse number 11 there. In verse number 12, it says, you can recognize them by these signs. Can I tell you this? God puts signs in your life every single day that you should recognize that God is moving. I had someone in my office just a second ago, and they were sharing with me that, you know, their mom passed away, and it's been very hard for seventh grade all. It's just been them and their mom. And they said, you know, and I said, do you see God? Do you see God showing you that your mom's still alive and well? And she's like, oh yeah, on her birthday, there's a beautiful double rainbow that looked like it was touching down right around me. And, you know, and I look at it, and how many of you can say honestly in your life that on a daily basis, you see something, hear something that reminds you that God hasn't forgotten you? All right. All right. Now listen. Now, I know not everybody answers those questions when I ask them, okay? So maybe you didn't answer because you just didn't hear, or maybe you didn't answer because you're just tired, and or maybe lazy and didn't want to raise your hand, all right? But the truth is this, if you could not raise your hand for that, it is not because God's not doing it. It's because you're not looking. You're not listening. Now, I don't mean that to be offensive, but the Bible says, seek and you will find, right? Knock and it'll be open. Ask and you shall receive. In other words, if you want it, it's there. If you want to see God, you want to experience God on a daily basis, it is there. It is there for you to take. It is there for you to grab hold of. It is there for you to witness and be a part of. It's not that God's not talking to you. The question is, are you talking to Him? Are you looking for Him? And the reality is a lot of times we don't take time to listen to regular people, much less listening to God. Are you listening? But it goes on, verse number 13. Suddenly the angel was joined with a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, and we all know this, read it out loud with me enthusiastically. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. All right. Now understand this. Now the glory of God stretches far beyond what we can see. Matter of fact, that's what heaven is all about. We did the eternal realities, and we looked at heaven and hell, and you got to really understand that heaven is such an amazing place just because it is nothing but love, joy, peace, and God's characteristics just made visual. I mean, just think about it. Yeah, I want to know God. The moment you step into heaven and you are embraced with the emotions, you're engulfed in the feeling, or you are there in the sight, you realize who God is because heaven just proclaims His glory. You know, my prayer is that we can bring a little bit of that proclamation down to earth, and that we can show people that, hey, you can feel the presence of God. You can experience the presence of God. You can see and feel and touch His love, because that's what we're called to do, is demonstrate it and show it and be that. You know, but I want to take just a few minutes, and I want you to look at something today. The threefold message, and we're going to back up real quick to verse number 10. I had you circle it and underline it, verse number 10, where you got to understand that Christmas, number one, is a time of celebration. In verse 10, the angel says, hey, I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. Now, can I say this? In our world, we have perverted that. It is no longer a time of celebration. Matter of fact, for many, it is a very stressful and a very hardship-ridden time. Many people, can I just put this out there? The rates of suicide shoot up dramatically this time of year. The rates of crime shoot up dramatically this time of year. It's a drastic change. We've taken, and Satan, can I tell you this? I want you to understand. How do you know God's real? Because everything that is God and about God, our God, Satan attacks. Why else do you think that this would be the saddest time and the loneliest time of year for people? Because it should be the time that nobody feels alone. And it should be the time that everyone is excited. It should be a celebration. It is one big birthday party. It is one big celebration of who God is. Tonight is my son's birthday. Today has been at 1:15, 1:02 actually, was officially his birthday PM. It was the day that our lives changed. I mean, literally, how many of you can say, I can remember back with my children, that was the day that everything changed, all right? I only have experienced the change that one brings, all right? And we're soon to experience the change that two brings. We are not pregnant, don't misinterpret that. But, you know, eventually we'll have another. And you look at that, and it's just like, man, there was a life we had and a love we shared before Lincoln. And then there's a life we have and a love we share because of Lincoln. All right. Now, how many of you mom and dads can say, I understand that? All right. Used to, you could go to the movies just by saying you want to go to the movies. Now it's who can babysit? Can we afford not only the movie? Can we afford the babysitter? Do we have the time? And then by the time you get to the movie, you sleep through it because you're exhausted, right? It's the first time you don't have to be stressed out. How many of you say, amen, I know that. All right. But how many of you, I wouldn't trade it for the world, neither would you. You know, they're awesome. I will say, there was a whole lot more amens and hands raised when I said how many of you remember it changed it than how many would change it. All right. So I don't know what that is. Maybe y'all need to be better to your parents. All right. But they might be lonely and depressed. Go hug them tonight. All right. But the truth is I want you to understand that today is the day that I have spent reflecting. I mean, I've looked through pictures. I've had my moments of tears. I've had my moments of jubilation. It has been all things Lincoln today. Just smiling with him, laughing with him. If he wanted to eat junk food for breakfast, that's what he got. All right. I always open the pantry and I get out what I'm fixing him for breakfast. And this morning I opened the pantry and he grabbed something that his mom would never let him have for breakfast. And I looked around and realized she wasn't there. And so he got it for breakfast. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of one of those days that you just kind of sit back and think, thank God that I'm a dad. Thank God that I've been blessed with this opportunity. And you know, especially with the 2 years we've had, thank God for him. And then, man, he got one of the greatest birthday presents yesterday. You know, we were faced. He's got a mild deformation he'll have his entire life. We opted out of a major reconstructive surgery because weighing the pros and cons, there's no need in putting his life in danger for maybe a bump being on one side of his head and it should be on the other. And God's not into the realization somebody is not made by the way they look. They're made by the heart and character of who they are. And so we just said, hey, you know what? We're done. And so our doctor looked at us and he said, in 3 months, I'm going to disappear. He said, but that's not going to affect you because after today, we don't need to see you. We don't need to be around you. And so when it comes to it, it's like, man, we got a lot to be thankful for. And so we're celebrating. You know, when it comes to the surgical side and all those things, we are done. We still got some, you know, complications, and we're looking to make sure there's no brain injury or different things, cause or delays. And so he's got therapy for the next year. And hey, we're fine with that. You know, it's just like, hey, we'll take it. You know, it's amazing. It's the greatest gift you'll ever get is to be able to know that there is someone in the world that does tremendously love you. And that's as a parent, that's one thing you get is unconditional love from your children. Am I right? Now, the older they get, that becomes in the way that they have been taught, you know, and that becomes in what they have seen. But while they're little, they love you regardless, right? You know, and so we're celebrating that and we're looking at that. And I got to thinking, man, Lincoln changed my life. But the birth of Jesus changed my eternity. It changed everything. It changed the way that God was made available to us. And it changed the opportunities that we have in life. It changed the way that we were able to worship. Thank God none of you brought a goat to church tonight, right? The only thing that was brought to church tonight that's animal related is somebody cooked a roast and you can eat it right over there. There's bowls and plates. Go have fun and eat it, you know, and we thank Susan for that, by the way. But, you know, thank God we didn't have to sacrifice. Thank God we don't have to have these moments where you stand out here and you got to wait on me to go in the back room to come out and tell you if God's forgiven your sin. Thank God that you can go anytime, anywhere. Thank God you can be sitting in traffic and you can go right into the throne room of God in prayer and he's there waiting on you. Thank God that, man, listen, just like that birth of my baby changed everything, the birth of Jesus Christ changed everything for everyone. And today, you have so much to be thankful for, so much to celebrate, so much to just sit back and say, man, God is good. See, can I tell you this? The world wants to show you the goodness of God is based on what you can see and what you have in your bank account and what you have in your home and what you drive. But the goodness of God is not measured by what you have obtained. The goodness of God is measured by what God has retained and kept off of you and kept away from you. You need to step back and realize that there is so much in life that you deserve to have that you do not have because God is good today. The grace and mercy of God is far beyond any gift you can ever get. Matter of fact, can I just give you some perspective? The gift of Jesus Christ was the most expensive gift that will ever be purchased for you. It's the most eternal gift. Every other gift you get this year will get old to you or will just get old. But the Bible says his mercies are renewed every morning. You can't afford it, it was given. And look at what it kept you from. It's an eternal gift. that He'll always continue to give. That when the world gets so bad, He'll give you a new one. Now think about that. When life gets bad enough that death consumes you and you are gone, you get a new life, a new eternity, a new existence. And the Bible says that the world will pass away. But He says, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. Listen, when it gets bad enough that you can't take it anymore, He gives you something new. Man, that gift, that's awesome. You see, somebody might write you a check for Christmas this year, but once that check is cashed and it is spent, it is gone. But what Jesus Christ gives you every single day of your life because of the birth of that baby, because it is the most expensive gift that will ever be purchased, you will never, ever go without because it just continually rebirths and regives. It's new. See, God's love is based on His character. Thank you, God. And it's not based on your conduct. It is based on who He is, not who you are. It is based on what He can do, not what you are doing. It is based on who He is and where He is and what He plans, not based on where you are and what you've done and where you're planning to go. The love of God is the greatest gift that you could ever experience. And thank God, the love of God wasn't given like we give love in theory and in word. The love of God was given visually, physically, as a baby in a manger. So it's a time of celebration, because while your children changed your life, this baby changed your eternity. Number two, you know, I like this verse, and I use this verse. Matter of fact, you want to know when I'm having a hard day or I'm facing a hard day, you will see this verse pop up on my news feed. Psalm 118:24, it came up on this Tuesday. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, it's just like this. God made this day. God made this day. And can I tell you how He designed this day? With purpose. God made this day. And can I tell you how He financed this day? With His blessings and His mercy and His grace. And God made this day. And can I tell you what this day was made for? So that you can have an abundance of life. So that you can experience love and share it. So that you can experience peace and give it. So that you can have joy and share it with others. This is the day God has made. And that day has been renewing itself every single day since the day that Jesus was born. Matter of fact, can I tell you this? Every time you write the date, you acknowledge the birth of Christ. Every time. It's December the 2nd, 2015. How do we know that? Because before Christ, B.C., and then after Christ, A.D., meaning in the year of our Lord. And thank God, I thank Him every day that I wasn't a B.C. believer, all right? You know, it's like B.C. powder, okay? I thank God, you know, I'd rather not have to have it, all right? I'd rather just not have the headache than have to take the B.C. powder. Matter of fact, first time somebody gave me a B.C. powder, I didn't know what to do with it. We were on a youth trip, Jason gave it to me, and it was all powder. I was like, am I supposed to snort that? I mean, how do I take that thing? I've never seen that in my life, you know? And he's like, you just shoot it down your throat. I had no idea. The thing is I'm an AD. I live in the year of our Lord. You know, all of creation, atheists have to acknowledge that Jesus was born, because all of time that we live by was scheduled by that birth. Who else has been born that's changed history like that? Who else has been born that changed it all? They used to count down. And then all of a sudden, they started counting up. Man, think about this. Your life might be going downhill, but all of a sudden, it can be looking up. Why? Because there was a baby that became a man, that became the sacrifice for your life. And now He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And here's the great news. He is madly, passionately in love with you. And the truth is, man, just like dates used to go down and now they shoot up, your life needs to do the same. Which means number two, Christmas is a time of salvation. Now look at this, if you would. Look at our next verse. Let's go back to the angel. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 11, the angel says, "And hey, listen, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." I do not believe that those three names were put there on accident. Can I just tell you, can we pause here? A lot of people love the first name, the Savior. All right, thank God we've been saved. All right, but the other two serve a purpose. He's the Messiah, meaning he's it. He's the one. He's the only one. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." And then it goes on and it says, "the Lord." Now there's the problem. All right? It's easy to make him a savior. It's hard to let him be Lord. Lord means complete control over everything. It means you're totally surrendered. It means you have no say. It means your opinions don't matter. It means what he says goes. Now, can I challenge you this? Your salvation needs to be more than your ticket into heaven. Your salvation needs to be a repetitive reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way and the only authority that should be guiding and dictating your actions, the way you live, the things you say, and what you are doing. Hey, Christmas is a time we celebrate, but Christmas is a time that you need to get in check. And you need to say, because he came, because he did what he did, I owe him my life. I owe him everything. How much of your life have you given God? Because if it isn't everything, you've not given him enough. You say, well, what does it cost to purchase my happiness? Well, Jesus Christ already purchased that. All it takes for you to receive that is to give and surrender your heart and life to him. Now, Brother Dick has put a thought in my mind that'll never leave me. Your heart, as we like to say, is here. When it comes to the heart the Bible's talking about, it is here. Meaning my thoughts, my actions, the things that I focus on. They're all his. You say, well, I'm okay, Christian. Well, how are you winning the battles of your thoughts? How are you winning what you're thinking that nobody can see? What is your focus when nobody's around? What is your imagination taking you to? What is building you as Lord? What is giving you a concept of God? Matter of fact, when we're going into this trust and how to learn how to trust, we're going to go into a real acknowledgement that many people that attend this church and many people that attend churches all across America and all across the world that call themselves Christians have idols that they worship, not a God that they worship. We're going to deal with that. And I'm just going to give you that out there because it's going to affect all of us because we will see that it is easy to carve an idol in our life. Now, I'm not saying that you're a whittler and you got a knife and you're carving wood. Whatever it is you're turning to in your deepest, darkest hour, that is your God. Whatever it is that brings you happiness, that is your God. What are you living for today? What got you going today? What motivated you today? Because whatever that was, that is your God. And the Bible says that, hey, a Savior, a Messiah, the Lord is born. In other words, hey, let God save you today. Not from the world, from you and what you are capable of. Not from what everybody else is doing, but from what you are going to do. Let him be the Lord of your life that says, okay, you are the only God and nothing else will motivate me and nothing else will control me and nothing else will heal me and nothing else will satisfy me. You alone are good. That's what David said. Will you just taste the Lord? Taste him and see that he is good. Man, I like it. David had some very powerful things to say about God, did he not? Man, he was a songwriter that knew exactly how to strum the harp chord when he said, hey, God is my refuge. God is my strong tower. God is all I need. He's my high place. You know, he's my shelter. In other words, I'm not scared. See, you cannot have the do not be afraid without the, okay, what's going to keep me from being afraid? If you're scared of the dark, what do you need? A light. A flashlight? I need more than a flashlight. I need the closet light, right? But then I'm scared of the closet door being open, so I can't use it, right? All right? And so I have to get something. Anybody else like that? Let's just be honest. All right? All right? I like the closet door shut. It's my routine at night. Closet door shut, bathroom door shut. I don't know. I saw the movie Arachnophobia, and all those spiders came out of the tub. Anybody else see that? Now, listen, that's before y'all were born. That's way back, okay? There were no special effects, and you can see strings where they're dangling them, all right? It was terrible, but it still torments me to this day. And so the bathroom door's got to be shut. All these things got to be done. The toilet lids have to be down. Why? I saw Anaconda, and one of those things came through the toilet. And so I just got all these things. Man, anybody else say, I got all these messed up things in my life, you know? All right? Now, some of you are like, I'm not scared of anything. I could challenge that. All right? I can challenge that. I'm just not going to tonight. The truth is this. When you have God as the centerfold of your life, what do you have to fear? Well, what if they kill me? Well, they promoted you. Yeah, I mean, they took away the world. And they gave you heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you say, that's a pretty good trade? Yes. Awesome. That's it. Amen. You know, you say, well, what about my loved ones? Here's the good news. They have him too. At least they should have an opportunity to have him. See, it's a time of salvation, but it goes beyond that. I like John 3:16. Can we just look at that tonight? The Bible says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that everyone..." Circle that. That's terrorist. All right? That's rapist. Drug addicts. Cheaters. Liars. Sinners. You. And me. Everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Aren't you thankful for that? Which brings us to the third point. Go to verse 14, if you would, of Luke chapter 2, Tanya. I had you read this verse with me earlier. But the Bible says that the angels proclaim not only, "Hey, look, I've got good news. Let's celebrate." Not only do they proclaim their salvation, they also proclaim this: "Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Peace. Christmas is a time of reconciliation, and let me break down that long word to tell you exactly what it means. It's a time of forgiveness. It's a time to restore relationships. You know what Christmas is all about? God restored his relationship with the world. See, the relationship that God had with the world was broken when Adam and Eve sinned. Adam and Eve, before the cross, were the only ones that had access to God in the manners of which they did. No one else was able to walk and talk with God. No one else could go without a priest. But Adam and Eve had unlimited rights to him. And from the time they took that bite until the time that Jesus was born and Jesus died and Jesus was raised again, until that time, the relationship with God was broken. It was on the rocks, as we would call it. And that's why I believe there's such symbolism in the fact that when God earthquaked this place, when Jesus died and when Jesus was rose again, that the Bible said that every rock on the face of the planet was cracked and broken. Why? He took that relationship off the rocks and he put it back together. And today you need to understand that Christmas is all about this. You can have a relationship with him. You can have a relationship with God. And more than that, because of God's love, you should be able to have a relationship with each other. Your enemies, your friends, your family. Can I tell you, I'm going to challenge you. Number one, don't let the season stress you out. Let it be a time of celebration. Stop. If you find one area of Christmas that is over-stressing you, then give that part up. All right? I can't find a gift for so-and-so. Then don't. Be the gift. Because I'll tell you this, and I've said it before. You know what people desire more? You know what your wife desires more than the money you make? She desires you. And you know what your husband desires more than what you can offer? You. You know what your children want more than the gifts you can put under their tree? You. They want time with you. You know, my son, I can play with him with his toys all day long, but if I get up and play chase with him, if I'll just run with him, or I'll run away from him like screaming like a little girl, man, we can play for hours like that, but his attention span with toys lasts maybe 2 minutes at the most. But if I'm chasing him, we can run all day. Well, he can. I'm a little overweight, all right? I'm a little out of shape. But we can play for hours like that. And you know, I looked at that just the other day and I thought to myself, God help us. He doesn't need an iPad. He doesn't need a TV program. He needs me. He needs you. She needs you to run around and just play, just have fun. And we think, man, what I got to do is I got to impress. No, you are impressive. Just be you. But just be God's version of you and not the one you've created. We need to spend time reconciling broken relationships. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus came so that we'd have a reason to celebrate. He came so that we could be saved, but he also came so that we could be restored. And I'm going to challenge you this year to restore your relationships, to focus time, effort, and energy on your relationships more than ever with God and with other people. The happiest people in life are the ones who love being around other people, who love the company of good people. Of bad people. See, you can't enjoy life if you don't love people. People that tell me, "Well, I just hate people." Well, you're miserable. You're miserable. You're not godly. Because God says you can tell that you're His children by the way you love each other. And so why do we take these things? And it breaks my heart that we do this just one day a year. Why do we do it? Because somebody needs to know that they're loved. I remember last year we ran out of coats and we had two people that were willing to give the coat off their back to people. And they did. And I just sat back and it's like, that's what love is. Love is saying, okay, if I'm good enough for this, so are you. Well, you don't know why they're there. Does it matter? Can I just tell you that? I get that argument all the time. Well, you don't know. Their choice has put them there. Okay, well, let's give them the opportunity to make a better choice. I've learned that some people can't make good choices because they never have a chance. Some people don't know how to love because they never saw it at home. Some people don't know how to care because they were never cared for. So let's give them a chance. That's what Christmas was. God said, let's give them a chance. And that's why I love the fact that He gave it to shepherds first. Let's give them a chance to see that they are loved. Let's give them a chance to see that they belong. That they matter. There's one thing that I hope you know is you matter. Not only to God, but to us. You mean something. And you are valuable. Why do we know that? Because there was a little baby that came one day that changed everything. So I hope maybe we've given you a new perspective on the purpose of Christmas. And I hope next time you're listening to Jingle Bells or you're putting decorations on your tree, that you pause for a moment to do a checkup. Number one, am I celebrating? Number two, what am I celebrating? Is it the tree or is it the reason? Number three, am I saved? Matter of fact, that's a question I'm going to ask you tonight. Are you saved? Is He your Savior? Are you spiritually secure? Then I'm going to ask you, okay, if the answer is yes, is He in control? Is He the one that you're worshiping as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? All right, then I'm going to ask you the next thing that I want you to focus on is this. Who is it that you need to make things right with? Now, let me tell you this. Some people you will never be able to make things right with because you're just bad for each other. And it's not because they're bad. You might be bad too. Have you ever noticed that opposite ends of a magnet, they attract, but the same end doesn't go together well? Positive forces are impossible to put together. I've learned that type A personalities seem to have a hard time getting along. Anybody else notice that? How many of you have a type A personality kid? How many of you are a type A personality person? All right. And it makes you just kind of say, what's their problem? Okay, they could probably say the same thing about you. You're the same. It makes it difficult. It's easy to love the opposite. Matter of fact, it's the opposite that attracts us. Am I right? All right, now, when you get married, something magically happens that you hate the opposite. It's what made you like them in the first place, and then you hate it. Remember, we shared that before. You know, when you're dating them, and you're the quiet, timid type, and they're all boisterous, you're like, man, I wish I could be like them. That's so awesome. Then you marry them, and you're like, I wish they'd shut up. You know, I wish they'd be quiet. The thing that you fell in love with, you start hating. You know why? Because you lose focus. You lose focus, and you lose the meaning of the relationship. Can I tell you why a lot of Christians are broken? A lot of Christians are angry and a lot of Christians are mean. They've lost focus of the meaning of their relationship. Hey, you know what attracted God to you? You were polar opposite of what He was. And He wanted to give you a chance to experience who He was. The one thing I love about my wife being totally opposite of me is she challenges things in my life. There's things that we do for fun that I would have never done because I'm not a risk taker. All right. When it comes to church and business, I'm a risk taker all day long. But when it comes to putting myself in danger, not a risk taker at all. This Friday, she gets off work a few hours early. You know what she wants to do? Ice skating. You know what I did to prepare for that? I got on Amazon today and I ordered all kinds of compression and knee braces and different things and ankle braces. Because if she's going ice skating, I'm going to get hurt. All right. So I'm going to be the only one out there that looks like I'm ready for a hockey game. All right. The thing is it's like she wants to do it. Okay. I haven't been on the tram that goes to Ober-Gatlinburg since I was 13. The reason being, the line froze and we got stuck. And I am terrified of heights. But Jordan wants to go. You know what? I love her for that. You know why? I would never try it. I would never do it again. You know? Here's the good thing. Can I tell you this? Would I, in my right mind, ever believe that me laying hands on someone and anointing them with oil could heal them? No. But God is opposites of me. And He challenges me. And He says, let's take a risk. And I put myself in situations that seem insane sometimes. Anybody else say, yes, I do that. And I say things that don't make sense sometimes to me. And I go places that I don't even know why I feel like I should be there. I make phone calls and I tell people, I don't know why I'm calling you, but I just felt like you needed to talk. You have those moments. You know why? Because I am so glad He is complete opposite of me. And because of that, He draws me into things that I would never be able to experience. You know what? Instead of repelling people that are opposite of me, maybe I should be encouraging them. Not to be like me, but to experience more in their lives than they are experiencing today. And to me, I believe that's what we're called to do at Christmas. To give someone the opportunity to start fresh. To be made new. I believe that the story of Jesus in the manger needs to be retitled to the day that God forgave the world. The day that God's forgiveness was born in flesh. Because from that moment on, it was all about getting you back to God. Getting you back into a relationship. Giving you another chance. So will you bow your heads and close your eyes and nobody look around? And can I ask just a few questions tonight? Number one. I don't need a hand raised. I just need you to search yourself, and I'm going to do the same for me. What are you truly celebrating this time of year? What is driving you? Because can I be honest? You could be broke and have the best Christmas you've ever had in your life. As long as you're celebrating the right things. Can I be honest with you? It's not based on what you can achieve. It's based on what has already been done. Number two, do you know Jesus as your Savior? I do want to know that tonight because I am going to make you celebrate. And if you do know Jesus as your Savior, would you just lift your hand, not for me, but just to heaven and say, thank you. Thank you for what you've given me. And then I will ask the opposite. Are you here tonight and maybe you do not know for sure? And if so, I'm going to change the way that I ask you to raise your hand. Because it does me no good to know that you're lost. It does no good. I can't do anything for your salvation. But maybe in a moment when I ask you to raise your hand, you can do it this way. That as your hand goes in the air, this is the moment that you say, Jesus, I believe in who you are. I believe in what you have given me. I believe you died to save me from my sins. And today, I acknowledge this to be the day that you become my salvation. I give my heart to you. Now, here's how I want you to answer the question. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, would you in this moment, as your hand raises, lift your heart and voice to heaven? It doesn't have to be audible. It could be in yourself. And will you just, while raising your hand, say, this is the moment I'm giving my life to you. Is there anybody like that tonight? Give it a second. Let's ask the next question. Is there anyone here tonight? That maybe, yes, you've acknowledged that you're a Christian, but maybe you need to acknowledge Him in another way tonight. Maybe you've taken the gift of salvation, but you haven't given the rights of lordship to Him. And tonight I ask you the same way. Instead of admitting that that's what you've done, I ask you, can you raise your hand and surrender and say, God, this is the day that I'm going to give you control of my thoughts, my words, and my actions. Is there anybody like that tonight? Say, you are Lord of my life from this moment forward. Would you slip your hand up? You are Lord of my life. God bless you. Now here's the great news. You got to do that every single day. And every time you mess up, do it again. Because if you confess that sin, he's faithful and just to forgive it and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Life is about surrender. The greatest moments in your life will happen when you're vulnerable. I told him Monday night, I told somebody Sunday, being vulnerable simply means you're available. You're available to do and to receive what God is wanting you to do and wanting you to receive. Last question. How many of you tonight, God has laid it on your heart that there is someone you need to reconcile a relationship with? And it may not mean that you're going to be friends, and it may not mean that you're going to get married again. It may not mean that you're going to get your job back. But there is somebody in your life, a dad, a mom, a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a relative, a friend, an enemy, a coworker, an employer, a boss, somebody that you have wronged or somebody that has wronged you, that right now it doesn't need to be about what's happened. It needs to be about forgiveness. And in your life, you say, this Christmas season, I believe that God is calling me to reconcile some relationships. Is there anybody like that tonight that says, I will answer that call? Will you slip your hand up? All right. God bless you. Because the cool thing about Christmas is the time that God has done all of those things for you and for me. Stand with me. Let's look at a verse in Romans chapter 8 tonight. And then I want you to grab hands and we're going to close. Tanya, can you give me that? Romans 8, 39. I want you to remind yourself of this. And I want you to remind others of this as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 39. You might recognize it. Read it out loud because it's in the NLT version. So read it with me. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen for that. Amen. There's nothing that will make God stop loving you. And as a result, there is nothing that should make us stop loving others. Nothing. Because love casts out all fear, right? Love covers a multitude of sins. You can't have love without forgiveness. Can't have forgiveness without love. And I'm going to tell you this. Christmas is all about that four-letter word, love. The moment that God loved us enough that he could not hold it back. I'm a terrible gift giver because as soon as I buy it, I want to give it. Anybody else like that? I don't even want to get the paper on it. If I know they want it, I want to give it to them. You know, I'm that way. My wife always says, I love surprises. I love surprises. I love surprises. I'm like, okay, then don't tell me what you want until the day before you want it. You know, because if I get it, I'm giving it. And I just see Christmas being that. It's the moment that God was so excited about you that he couldn't hold it back anymore. And he said, okay, Jesus, it's time. Go be the sacrifice. Can I tell you there's another moment like that coming? To when God's love for you is going to get so real that he says, okay, Jesus, it's time. He's not going to say, go be the sacrifice. He's going to say, go set up your kingdom. Go establish it. Go deliver them. Man, I'm glad that I have a gift-giving God. And as a result, I want to give the same gift he gave me. Let's give love. Let's pray. God, I love you and I thank you for the day and I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for all the opportunities that you give us. For 2 years now, God, we have battled and this year, right now, we sit on celebration because of your grace and your mercy and your miraculous healing hands. God, I love being able to look back in my life and see moments that I no longer have to worry over and moments I no longer have to feel ashamed of. God, I know that's all because of your grace and your mercy. And so today, I celebrate that. That you are worthy of my praise. You're worthy of my life. You're worthy of my worship. God, I ask you to convict me. Convict me every single moment that I take for granted the gift you've given. Every single moment that I hold it back and I don't share it with others, God, convict me. The moments when I want to act out of my anger and my frustration. The moments when I want to be selfish. The moments when my pride, God, convict me and remind me that others deserve the same gift that we have received. And I pray that this year, during this season and throughout the rest of this year, that you will find glory and praise, that you will be made proud of your family here at Grace Community Church as we go out and we love and we give and we reconcile and we forgive and we take the gift you've given and share it with others. God, help us. God, help us to be your hands and your feet. And may many come to know you as a result. And it's in Jesus' name we praise you. And we ask these things, and everyone said, amen. Be praying for my in-laws. They're on their way in town. They just left, so they won't get here till about 3 a.m. So if you can do that, I appreciate it. Let me remind you, we're doing some projects. If you cannot afford Christmas, let us know. We've got